the Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Electric Ireland, providing excellent customer service for our growing SME sector.
Good morning. Coming up, Maura Sachi on legacy and loss, music that motivates, and Jim Sheridan on reeling in the Asian market. You can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 1857 15150, email thebusiness@rte.ie, or you can send us a tweet to @thebusinessRTE. But first this morning, I'm joined by David C. McCourt, an Irish-American telecoms tycoon who this week, along with his partners, acquired eNet, which is the privately owned Irish company that manages our fibre optic metropolitan area networks on behalf of the government. That's all of our internet type of stuff anyway. He is one of seven children. He's raised in Massachusetts, and he was the first ever recipient of the White House Award for Extraordinary Accomplishments in Private Business, in the private business sector. He has an Emmy Award for a children's television series, and he once said that the best piece of advice he ever got was from a mentor who told him that your energy follows your thoughts and your results follow your energy. So really, you have to be careful about what you think about. Well, David, obviously, you've been thinking very carefully about Ireland.
Yes, Judge, I have. Thank you for having me, by the way.
And this big investment this week, eNet, why?
Well, I've been in telecom my whole life, my whole business career anyway, so it's what I know, and I think I think that the telecom sector is a great sector to be in. It's a sector I understand, and I think Ireland is a great place to do business. It's very welcoming of outsiders. And we think there's a great future here, both for eNet and for us as we try to expand the business.
Now, with your business partners, you've been looking at four opportunities for investment in Ireland for quite a while. Why?
Well, I think that Ireland, sort of, it was one of those things where the baby might have got thrown out with the bathwater. You know, when the recession hit Europe, Ireland was being thrown into the same bucket with Spain and Greece and Portugal and everything else. And I think Ireland is distinctly different. I think Ireland, during the Celtic boom, they made all the right moves to educate everyone. They have a fair tax code for businesses and a fair tax rate for businesses. They put money into infrastructure, maybe not as much into the broadband as they needed to, but they surely put it into bridges and roads. And I think that they have all the groundwork to make it very welcoming for businesses to come here. And consequently, I think there's a lot of opportunity.
You see, some people might say, oh, well, I wonder, is he a vulture capitalist? You know, a guy who's looking at things being cheap in Ireland and deciding that this is a good time to invest. You don't see yourself in that category.
No, absolutely not. We as my partner, Walter Scott, who's on the Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway board, as he likes to say, you know, businesses are like orchards. You're allowed to pick the fruit, but you're not allowed to cut down any trees. So, you know, he's been on Berkshire Hathaway's board for 20 years, and they've never sold a company. They've never once sold a company. So we're looking at this as a long-term deal, Judge.
And you're going to grow the business. Exactly. See, people might find it very difficult to understand what this eNet opportunity is for you, but you're looking to use this Irish company and this Irish network and their facilities and their abilities to deliver internet services for 3 billion people around the world.
Well, that's different. We're mixing what I think yesterday's Irish Times said. Maybe we might be mixing apples and pears here a little bit. So eNet...
In the orchard.
Exactly.
Which we're not going to cut down. Explain
so, so eNet was 94 fiber rings that were built by the government when they said, hey, in these towns outside of Dublin, there's no fiber, there's not good enough infrastructure, so we'll build it ourselves, and then we'll give it to someone to manage. So we bought the contract that manages those government assets, those government metropolitan area networks. So, and that's a business that we're very proud to be involved in, and we're very, very proud to be the custodian of those assets, and we hope to manage and grow them to the best of our ability.
So better to grow the internet services around the country for people.
Exactly. Okay. Now, in addition to that, you know, we own, we bought Philips Electronics satellite group in Dusseldorf, and we bought the Raven in the UK and the ASC assets in the States. So we're the largest designer and builder of satellite terminal equipment. So we're in other parts of the telecom infrastructure as well as this. And we think that our island might be the right place to consolidate all our assets. And one of the things that we want to do to go at, one of the markets we want to go after is those 3 billion people in the world that don't have any internet access. And we think we have a way where we could use a combination of our satellite technology, some of our fiber technology, some predictive software, some cheap storage to build a offering for those people. So that's sort of a separate thing. And we've, and the common theme, George, in all the businesses that we've been involved in is we look at the underserved guy, you know, guy or gal, right? The underserved person in the world, and we say, how can we develop a product to serve them? As opposed to most businesses, which they design a product and they say, how can I charge more and more for that product? How do I go up market to charge more and more? We try to do is we look at the consumer and say, well,
put him first.
Yeah,
put him
exactly.
First. Well, obviously it's paid off handsome dividends for you because you have been so successful in business and so on. Just your background, Irish-American. Both of your parents came from Ireland?
I'm the second generation. My family's from, my mum's family's from Ballymacward outside in Galway, and my dad from Tyrone. So it's, and I've owned a house here for almost 15 years, I guess, down in Clare.
In Clare.
Clare, as opposed to Cork, which would be important today.
You bring your mother backwards and forwards to Ireland.
Yeah, my 97-year-old mother comes every year, absolutely.
97 years old.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic
age. In great form, absolutely.
And the Irishness now growing up, were you very conscious of that in America?
Yeah, well, of course, we had this 7 brothers and sisters and their parents, so the 9 of us in the house, and then sort of in the backyard was my mum's mum and dad. And they of course didn't drive, and they'd come over when they were 16 and 17 respectively, so it was a very, very Irish family. You know, the whole growing your own food and pickling your own vegetables and all that stuff that a guy from, you know, a farmer from Galway would have brought with him. You know,
you see, one of the interesting things is that, and I wouldn't be awfully surprised, that your first course of study in college was sociology. You thought you were going to be a social worker.
Exactly.
Probably comes a little bit from the background to some
extent.
It might, but I
sort of stumbled into business by accident, George, and you know, thank God it worked out.
And how by accident? What happened?
Well, I was working for Tip O'Neill, a great Irishman. You remember Tip O'Neill, the Speaker of the House, and I was... and I just had come across his desk, this article about how cable TV was not going to come to urban environments because it was just too expensive to build in urban environments. And I invented this way of basically extruding the conduit over the cable, which it's a long story, but it lowered the cost by about 80% of building cable systems. So I was just lucky, you know, a little bit like Forrest Gump. I was just lucky enough I invented a method of construction that lowered the cost, and I was lucky enough to get in the business. And then I decided one day that I wanted to be in the business myself, and I built the first competitive phone company in America, Corporate Communication Network. So again, I was just in the right place at the right time and lucky.
Well, you don't look like Forrest Gump, put it that way. You
know,
obviously have had, look is very important, though, in businesses. I mean, you do have to have very good thought processes, very good partners, but you have to be a little bit lucky.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, a lot of business guys will tell you how smart they are and all that jazz. But, you know, no, luck in life, luck plays a big, fate or luck, who knows what it is, but plays a big part, right?
Do you think in terms of, because Irish people are definitely, as you know yourself, because you're here so often and you have your house here, trying to pick themselves up off the ground, and start-up businesses are so important. It's a much more difficult environment in which I think it is to start a business than America.
Well, one thing America has that's unique in the world is America will reward you. If you fall down and you get back up, they'll reward you more emotionally than they would if you were successful from the get-go. America loves to see someone pick themselves up after they've fallen down and brush themselves on and get back on with it. In a lot of countries, you know, in you know, a lot of countries, once you fall down, you sort of cast aside. America loves to see someone bounce back.
Well, what do you think about Ireland in relation to that? Because it goes to the attitude of failure. You see failure as just a stepping stone to the next success.
Absolutely.
Ireland, because you have a fair handle now on our attitudes. Do you think we have a very different attitude to failure?
No, I actually think Ireland is really, really good about that. I think Ireland is really good about seeing someone pick themselves up. Irish are very resilient. I mean, you looked over the last couple of years during this recession, you know, in Greece, the burning the place down and throwing rocks through the window and all that stuff. And the Irish people are getting on with it and saying, okay, so we have a recession here and we have to work our way through it. And I think they're doing a very, very good job.
A lot of them just emigrated. We saw the figures came out this week. There were very high emigration figures, and particularly of all our graduates, a clear brain drain. Do you think we should be worried?
Well, that's a problem. We have that, excuse me, we have that problem in America where people come from other countries to study in America and then they leave. The brain drain is always a big problem. But we need to be, in Ireland, we need our jobs going forward can't be tax driven. They're going to be skills driven. We've got to find out what we're going to be better at than anyone else on the planet, and just do that. So the people who graduate with those skills want to stay here, and that's what Fáil Mlaoidh is all about. I mean, the government's doing a really good job.
That's you're going to this next global Irish Global Economic Initiative, which is in Fáil Mlaoidh next weekend.
Yes, Friday and Saturday, and I'll chair the telecom subcommittee or whatever you call it. But you know, the government's doing a really good job of trying to create environment to create jobs. God knows you don't want government creating jobs. It just adds to your tax base, right? You want government to create an environment so other people can create jobs. And that's what Fáil Mlaoidh is all about. I think they're doing a good job by staying focused on it.
You wrote in the Wall Street Journal, I think it was the Wall Street Journal, would it have been, David, 2011, saying that you thought Ireland was in a situation where if we didn't get debt for equity swaps, if people outside of Ireland didn't take on some of this debt from the banks, that we would basically turn into a debt servicing agency for a generation and that we would be just debt collectors for foreign creditors. It looks like that's what we are.
Well, George, I stick with my position that when you get too much debt, whether you're a government or a company or an individual, if you have an opportunity to swap out that debt for equity, clean up your balance sheet and move on. I think in that same story in the Wall Street Journal, I wrote that Ireland is like a company that's a good company but has a bad balance sheet. Ireland's a good country, but we have a little problem with our balance sheet. And I'm a big believer in, you know, swap out your debt for equity and clean it up and move on. You can't spend forever, you know, paying down that debt because it gives a whole generation, it sort of creates a lost generation of people who don't have an opportunity then.
Well, speaking of opportunities, people are looking for those opportunities and they see technology, they see the telecommunications area, they see the internet, see everything. It's a state of flux, actually. There are opportunities in that, but it's trying to see through the mess which is there to see where those opportunities are. Well, you know a lot because you've cut your way right through it. Where do you advise people to look for opportunities these days?
Well, Judge, good question. Now, throughout my whole career, we've looked for disruption. If there's consumer behavioral change, if there's regulatory change, if there's technological change, or if there's all three, even better, the more change, the happier we are because a lot of people have trouble when there's so much disruption thinking clearly. And that's where the opportunity is. So the fact that Ireland is going through a transition here, that actually people should embrace that. People should look at that and say, well, the average guy can't think clearly with all that disruption. So there's an opportunity for me. I'm going to get up a little earlier than everyone else, and I'm going to think a little clearer than everyone else and stay up a little longer working and find an opportunity.
So cut through the noise. As such.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cut through the noise and find out what's really behind there.
So
right?
I'm struck about one other thing about you, your Emmy Award. So obviously you have an interest in film or in producing stuff which goes on screen anyway. Have you ever thought about investing in Irish film?
Well, had the first conversation about that with your next guest out in the green room. So we'll follow up with your next guest after on my next trip to Ireland and think about it. It'd be a beautiful place to be in the film and TV business because everywhere you look in Ireland, there's nothing but beauty. I mean, everywhere you look, there's something special about the light in Ireland. There's something special about the landscape. It would be a beautiful place. I tried to do actually a Irish version of I came, actually, now that you mentioned, I came to RTE one time and pitched them an Irish version of a show I produced called Reading Rainbow, which is a kids' show that encourages kids to read. And I said, Ireland has more famous authors per capita than any place on the planet. This is the place we should do that show. But it never took off. I forgot I pitched that, yeah.
Well, there they are. Well, next time we'll be pitching to you, wondering whether or not you'll pay for it for us to do it, I'm sure, as will indeed some of our next guests. David C. McCourt, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for having me.